And sure, but he born, but because he picked you. Oh, you're born again, sure, but he picked you, man. He picked you. He said, I chose you. You didn't pick me. I adopted you. That's crazy. I don't know why he would do something like that. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, it's 99 days till Christmas. Thought maybe I'd just throw that right out there. Some of us are happy, some of us are groaning, some of us are going, we just did Christmas a week ago. Yeah, I get that. I remember when I was a child, man, Christmas couldn't come fast enough. It just couldn't. Now it's like birthday Christmas, birthday Christmas, birthday Christmas. That's all right. That's all right. So we've been talking about returning to the familiar. Here's what's interesting about Jesus. As you continually hang with him, it becomes quite amazing how much he desires people to know him. And I say that because one of the greatest purposes, if we will dig it out from his teaching and what he said, was the importance of other people. And not determining on who gets to be those other people. And one of the craziest things that he ever did was the parables. And, you know, Gary touched on one of the parables today. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he was very clear on the Sermon on the Mount. Very clear with his teaching and training. And he talked about it all, divorce and hatred and, I mean, he was very clear, and then at the end of it, you know, of course, he said, build your house on the rock and not the sand, and we've all taught it and stuff. But then it was kind of strange, because then he made a shift in his teaching, in his teaching method, and he started doing the parables. He started telling stories, and it kind of bugged everybody, and his poor disciples that hung with him, you know, he went from doing all this obvious teaching to this, them having to constantly tap on his shoulder. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? But he was gracious and told them, right? And the first one he taught, at least it seems chronologically, was we did this a couple weeks ago about the farmer scattering the seed and the good ground and all that. And a lot of y'all remember that because I still get people sending me pictures of trees growing out of rocks and stuff. So that's cool that you got that. But I taught that a few weeks ago. But finally, the disciples asked him, Why are you doing this parable thing? And this is what he said. His disciples came and asked him, why do you tell stories when you talk to the people? And then he explained to them, you have been permitted to understand the secrets, which literally means the mysteries, of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, by the way, just so you know, every time the kingdom, when he did a parable, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he would say something. The kingdom of heaven, and as you study it out, he even said it when he said the kingdom of heaven is like the farmer. They asked him what it means. He said the Son of Man, talking about himself, Jesus, was the farmer. So the kingdom of heaven, if you study the word out, the word kingdom is the word basilia, which you should probably know just from, if you know any kind of Italian. That's where they get basilica from. But it means royal power in heaven. So the kingdom of heaven, and when he says the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the royal power of heaven. Well, who is that but him? And he would say that. So he would tell these stories, and he said, you've been permitted to understand the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or of himself, but others haven't. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who aren't listening, even what they have will be taken away from them. How many times, guys, well, let's just do this, if you're married spouses, how many times do you not hear a word that she says or he says, though they're talking straight to you? And you can blame the TV or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you the times in my own life where, this was before texting. I was going to say I would text my wife, but I would tell my wife, oh, well, so-and-so died or whatever. And she'd go, well, I told you that last week. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And she did, but I wasn't paying attention. You know, a lot of times, we know Jesus, and we know his words, but he did these parables for those of us who really want to hang with him, so that we could really dig more out, rather than him just being plain Jane. He's giving us opportunity to sit at his feet and to get what he's saying. And I promise you, as you're going to see today, hopefully, you're going to see how his heart was towards mankind. All in the name of crazy parables. You know, let's get there. Let me keep going here. So, where am I at? I'll just start where it says, to those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and there'll be abundance of knowledge. But to those who aren't listening, though you're looking like you are, even while they've been, whatever they've gotten will be taken away. That's why I tell these stories, he said, because people see what I do, but they don't really see it. We see that he heals, but we don't know the motive behind it. And we've kind of taken that motive, especially with healing, and kind of switched it. The motive in healing has nothing more to do than the compassion in his heart. It's when he was going into Nain, and the mom coming out of Nain with her dead son was coming out. They're all happy going in, and she's all sad going out. And the Bible says his heart broke. This is it. His heart broke. I posted this on Facebook. There wasn't no gold dust. There wasn't no slamming. There wasn't no coats being thrown. His heart broke. That's what motivated him. So, he says, you see what I do, but they don't really see. They hear what I say, but they don't really hear. And they don't understand. So, I want to set up the scenario of Matthew chapter 13, which, this is where we did a couple weeks back, where the farmer scattered the seed parable, and then remember Jesus told him what that was all about. Well, and then he told the wheat and the weeds parable, and the wheat and the weeds parable was when he said the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in a field, and while his laborers slept, the enemy came in and planted weeds. And so they said, well, what should we do? Should we pull weeds? He said, no, let the weeds and the seed grow together, and then at the end of the harvest, the harvesters will come and take care of it. He told that parable, and then he told the mustard seed parable. The kingdom of heaven, he said, so Jesus is like the mustard seed. And he said the mustard seed is the smallest little seed. Now, how could he say that about himself? Because that's how he viewed himself. How cool would that be if we could view ourselves as the smallest little seed rather than the glorious parading around and about? Right? We have a lot of people who want to be in ministry so that they can be paraded about. I just saw a little short video the other day that really spoke to my heart. This lady was speaking, some of y'all would turn you off just because it was a lady speaking. She was speaking about that. She's talking about the giftings and how the gifting, we can fill the room with gifts. But what breaks the yoke is the anointing. And the anointing only comes with crushing. You get it. And it's so true. And we get it so backwards. And Jesus, even if, like I said, as you dig through this stuff, you're going to see this. So he did this mustard seed parable where he said, you know, it's the littlest seed, but then it grows to be the biggest tree. In fact, even birds come in and, no, build a nest in it. It's more important than rest. Because when you build a nest, that means you're producing something of life. You get it. And then he tells that parable. It's a little short parable. And then he tells the parable of the yeast. This woman, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The yeast being him. And she just takes a little bit of it and puts it in this bread, and it causes the whole thing to rise. So Jesus is like yeast. Why do you think he said to be the light of the world? Think of this, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. The light of the world being, if Ronnie, if you're in the darkest place ever, even if you're just a little flicker, you light up the whole room for a little light. Salt, put a little salt in a pot of stew. Man, it changes everything, doesn't it? He's so powerful in the things he says, but we don't take the time to hear him. And honest to goodness, it's all about other people. It is. Salt, light, mustard seed, yeast. It's all about producing something of life through us. So he tells those parables. And then we get to this scripture. I just didn't want to read the whole thing to you. So we get to the scripture. We're still in 13. And it says, well, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using these parables. This fulfilled what God spoke through the prophet, which is Psalm 78, I believe. I'll speak to you in parables, and I'll explain things hidden since the creation of the world. In verse 36, then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house, and his disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. So he did. Here it comes. Jesus replied, the Son of Man, now remember, in the scripture it said the kingdom of heaven, but here he says the kingdom of heaven is the farmer. Here it says, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed, and the field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. And the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one, and the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Verse 40. And just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world, the Son of Man, Jesus talking about himself, will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will, and the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. I want you to hang on to that one, because the biggest one we'll talk about is the last one in this chapter. But I want you to hang on to what he said. The good seeds planted while everybody's asleep, the enemy comes in and plants the bad. Should we pull them out now? No, leave them alone till the end. And then I'll send my angels to take care of business. Hang on to that in your brain. Verse 44. And the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. So Jesus is like a treasure. Do you hear this? He's like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in the field. And in his excitement, this man hid it again and sold everything that he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Jesus is the treasure in this parable. I want you to look at the next parable, because this is very important. And again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. Jesus is not the choice pearl. Listen, Jesus is the merchant that is looking for the choice pearl. When he discovered this pearl of great value, he sold everything, gave up his life, and died. So he owned it and he bought it. So who's the pearl? I've been taught forever, since I was a puppy, that we're to sell everything, get rid of everything, chase everything, and make him. I understand he's my treasure. He's my treasure. There's a treasure at the end, Gary Chapman wrote in a song. There's a treasure at the end of this narrow road I'm traveling. You remember? Do you know that song? That gives me a reason to or a purpose in life. And Jesus is my treasure, the reason that I'm living. And he'll still be the reason when I die. He's my treasure. But I'm his pearl. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah. I'm his pearl. You can call me whatever you want. I've been called a few things. I've even been called late to supper once or twice. He's my treasure, but I'm his pearl. Because he picked me, and he sold everything so that he could have me. Wow. Man, do you not see how much he loves people? So, again, he said, well, here, let's not go there yet. Let me get my thoughts together. So, up to this point, we've talked about this. Now, I want to hone in on this last parable that's in this chapter. Tons of parables. And here it is. Go ahead. And again, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, the royal power of the heavens is what that means. The kingdom, royal power of heaven. And again, Jesus would constantly say that he, the Son of Man, you got it. I'm not making stuff up here. So the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. And when the net was full, they dragged it on the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. And that is the way it will be at the end of the world. Now remember, brother, he just talked about the sowing the seed, the bad seed, and the weeds, right? And that is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace while they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We love that part because we've got people we hate. Verse 51, do you understand all these things? And they said, yeah. They said, we do. Yeah, we do. Do you? And I sat in my office all week asking that very same question. Do I? Do I? So the fishing net, like the farmer and the treasure and the merchant, is Jesus. And here's what I want you to notice. Notice that the fishing net does not discriminate, separate, categorize, distinguish, tell the difference of, or classify the catch. And I got every word in there I could find so that some of y'all are going to try to weasel out of it will hear me. I'll say it again. The fishing net does not, I'll say it again. Jesus, the fishing net, does not discriminate, separate, categorize, distinguish, or tell the difference or classify the catch. And as the net drags the sea, everything is collected in it. Everything's collected in it. When that net goes down to the bottom, in it, everything's collected in it. Now, if you, those of you who watch movies, which don't lie, if you don't, God, don't lie and say, oh, I don't watch a movie. Well, yeah. I don't know if you watch like Mariner movies, but have you heard the word flotsam? Have you heard this word? Flotsam and jetsam. Flotsam and jetsam is junk in the ocean. All right? Now, here's what you need to hear. This is really good. Flotsam is the wreckage of a ship or its cargo. It's when a ship like the Titanic would be flotsam at the bottom of the ocean. All right? Then the jetsam is unwanted goods that have been thrown overboard from the ship. In other words, that would be like, remember Jonah's story and they start throwing stuff over? That would be so what I'm trying to say is, what's all gathered in this humongous net is flotsam, which was not deliberate, that was just a train wreck, if you will. But then also in that net is some on-purpose stuff that was tossed overboard. Do you get what I'm saying? It's all stuff that's in the ocean. Whether we determine somebody else's flotsam or their jetsam, do you get what I'm saying? Because we're pretty good at doing that. We're pretty good at determining and trying to determine who's evil and who's not, who's good and who's bad, who's this and who's that. And I'm telling you right now, the heart of Jesus and everything that he ever did had all to do with mankind as a whole. For God so loved the cosmos, is the Greek word, the world, mankind. Not your choice, not my choice, mankind, all of us. Don't give a rip what your color is, what your social status is, what your political persuasion is. He died for all, he loves all, and he wants all. So I can hear him telling the disciples, do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, I get what you're saying. And then they turn around later and go, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to kill that Samaritan? And he's thinking, you just said you got what I said. So I want you to notice that no judgment occurs until the net's dragged ashore. Can I tell you right now, there has been no net drug ashore right now. Nothing has been drug ashore. Nothing. And it's very clear in this parable. When it's drug ashore, it's going to be when they come to do the separating. This is going to get worse for you. You know what? Listen, man. I love you. The scripture that says in the last days there will be a fence, that, man, that's always bugged me till nowadays, because it's like that just doesn't fit in the Bible. Holy smoke, does it fit now? Everything's offensive. You can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. You just can't. It's got nothing to do with Jesus. I don't care if you put your little Christian label on it, all you want. Nothing to do with it. But you're offended at everything. You know where Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword? We thought it was a sword to kill other people. No, it's the sword to kill us. Do you get what I mean? It's the sword to kill what I think is right, what I've determined is right, the judgment that I have concerning all other people, no matter who they are. Do you get it? Oh, you're just saying to be tolerant. I'm not saying be tolerant. I'm saying to love folks. Good Lord, man, love them. How? Well, Galatians chapter 5 talks about how horrible we all are, and then he says, but the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you know Jesus lives in you, that same Spirit is in you. And it will grow in you. The first one he talks about is love. And then and joy and peace. And you can almost go in that order, because you ain't going to have no joy unless you love. And you certainly ain't going to have no peace if you got no joy if you got no love. You get what I'm saying? And you're going to have people that tell you you don't have it. Can't tell you the time when my daughter died. Now, you ain't dealing with her death because I had joy. Oh, I wasn't happy at all. No, ma'am. No, sir. But I still had joy. Because joy isn't determined by circumstance. Joy is determined by relationship. That's free. So, notice no judgment occurs until the net's dragged ashore. Notice this. It's the angels, not the fish, that do the judging. Oh, man. Oh, man, this is what I love. I was hammered my whole life in church with all the things I do wrong, which would make me feel guilty. Now I try to teach the hammer of love, which is just as cutting, isn't it? Isn't that fun? Huh. I'm just, listen, you're eating what I've already chewed on a little bit. Just don't swallow too much of it. You'll get real fat. I'm telling you. I want you to notice that prior to the net coming ashore, nothing is rejected. It's all there. Go to the other parable where he said, oh, the good man, look at the good people. Let's get rid of those bad. No, not till the end of the age. Because the truth is, you as a human being cannot determine who's valuable and who's not. We've been told that he's the pearl of great price. No, he's the treasure. We're the pearl. All of us. Everything. Even if we don't recognize we're the pearl. Even if you've decided that somebody else ain't a pearl. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, man. It hurts my heart. It hurts my heart, because if we would spend the same time and energy loving other people that we do spending giving our opinion of other people, holy smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, might I inform you that there are people outside of this church walls right now that hurt. Right or wrong, they hurt. Done you wrong, done you right, they hurt. And that was Jesus' whole ministry. He said, you know, they're always, the guys were always asking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And what would he say? I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. He's God, the perfect God, never did anything wrong. And holy smoke, he's the one that said, no, I came to serve. I didn't come to decide where you get to sit. God will decide where you get to sit. Meantime, we got to love some folks here. So, again, I said, notice prior to the net coming ashore, nothing is rejected. Scripture. This is Jesus speaking. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me. I ain't making it up. It's in the Word. The word obey there, I put it, I didn't put the Greek word, but the word incorporates. There's a plethora of meaning in it, and it incorporates that don't keep watch, guard, protect what he says? You see what I'm saying? For instance, I've seen it done a lot. Where Jesus says, love your enemies. We say, well, love your enemies, except, you know, if this one did, you know. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. How many times do we use that? Burn them up, God. It's yours. Huh. So I will not. Now, what did Jesus say? I'm not going to judge those who hear me and don't obey me. Because I haven't come to, I've come to save the world, not to judge it. Verse 48, but all who reject me and my message, oh, they'll be judged on the day of judgment by the truth that I've spoken. And you know what the judgment, that judgment's going to be? It's not going to be this horrific thing that we think. It's going to, the judgment that we're going to be judged on is our belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes won't perish. So what's going to be the question at the judgment? Did you believe? Believe what? Believe how good he is. Believe what he's done for you. Believe that he died on the cross for you. Believe that he did everything that he said he did for you. Believe that he desperately loves you. That's what, it makes no sense to me why people reject him. Holy smoke! It's amazing. There's nobody on this earth can love us like that, man. Nobody, 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 nobody. So, but all who reject my message, what's his message? What's Jesus' message? You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I tell you to love your enemy. You've heard it said to go 1 mile with your enemy even though you hate their guts. I'm telling you to go 2 miles with them. Crazy. And so, but all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth that I've spoken. Be careful condemning a world that Jesus doesn't condemn. I have come to save the world, not to condemn the world. That rattles us because we have taken it on our shoulders, and it is a huge burden to judge the world. It is a huge burden because you can't line up to what you're judging. Do you get it? And let me say this, I'm close to leaving y'all alone here. Be careful of being a sports fisherman trying to catch a trophy fish. There's a reason he said the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net, not a fishing pole. I have a trophy on my wall in my office. Those of you who don't know me or haven't been in my office because you've been in trouble. That's what people say all the time. This is the first time in my office. I've never been in trouble. So, yeah, the only time, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I got a 7'9", 115-pound striped marlin that I caught in the year 2007 in Los Cabos. It was an exciting time. It took me 45 minutes to pull that thing in. 45 minutes doesn't sound like long to you. Here's what you need to understand. You know those times where you see them and they're just standing there holding it like this, right? And they're just waiting to drop down and do it. When you're holding it like that, they are fighting. Listen, you're trying to catch a fish. They're fighting for their life. You get it. And by the way, you don't catch them 200 yards off. No, that fish started about 25 feet off. They fight. So I'm doing it. My elbow's bloody, just smashed out. I'm reeling, and I'm reeling. I get it right to the edge, and the dude goes over to gaff it with the pole, and he misses, and I had relaxed, and zzz, it goes out another 10 feet, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do it. So he looks at me like, do you want me to help? And I'm like, I'm so mad, but I'm not. I mean, come on, this guy's paid to do this. But I'm not going to give him my pole, even though it would have been my fear. I'm going to do this till I'm dead. I'm going to show you how God works, and I think it was God, and some of y'all say, no, if you're PETA people, I apologize. But about the time I was just whipped, that fish shot up out of the water, and I got her all back in. Anyway, went through the whole process of sending her to have her taxidermist. Anyway, I have my big fish. It's my trophy fish. Didn't eat a piece of the meat. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. This is something you put on your wall So that other people, like I just told you the whole story, so that other people can see. And here's the first question that comes in. Did you catch that? Why would I put a big old fish on my wall if I didn't catch it? No, I got it at a garage sale, man, $25. You like it? In fact, it's so bad, I actually got a little thing under my fish that shows me with the fish in a picture and underneath how big she was. And you know, anyway, the point is, oh, man, I'm proud of that fish. Now, it really has no value other than my best friend doesn't have a fish on his wall. He's got a 6'9" black bear that he dropped from 700 yards, and I told him that ain't hunting, that's sniping. You know, that bear was minding its own business. But he's got all these varmints, but I'm the only one with the fish, right? So that's a great story and a cool story, and I got a big old fish on my wall, but the truth is, there's no value in that for other than my own personal ego. Here's how James said it. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in Jesus if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes in your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another one comes who's poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can't stand over there or else you're going to sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? And we can flip that, by the way, since it's our church, because we're pretty good with the homeless. We're just not good with other people. Right? And Squig got sober for a while. He's back hammering it now. He's a homeless guy. I see him all the time by a place where I eat, and love him to death. I mean, I do. I do. I just love, I'm stinking all, man. Hug him, love him. But then there's those people with suits on. See, it works both ways. Democrat, Republican, independent. See, if you say you're independent, you get to hammer both. Here's my final thoughts. This fishing net parable, shows that God is happy with his process. God's happy with the way he does things. The problem is we want to help him in that process. And the thing that really bugs me is it's a waste of time. If we would take that same energy, y'all, to love other people rather than slam other people. Listen. We only get 24/7. That's all we get. That is all we get. I mean, I'm telling you, I know people who spend hours opining, giving their opinion on a plethora of stuff that's got nothing to do with I don't care. Who cares about our opinion? And here's what drives me nuts, especially on social media. Well, post something. Well, if you post it, you're dividing. And let me tell you why. You got those that are going to go, yeah, I like that, man. Good job. Yeah, you're right, man. So, yeah. And then you got the others that are, so then you unfriend. What are you doing? How about you post the word? How about you post Jesus loves you? And then if they want to argue, let them argue. There's no arguing truth. I'm tired of people thinking that their opinion is truth. It's not. Truth is, Jesus died for all. Truth is, Jesus loves all. And the truth is, the separation will come after we're all gone. And I think we'll probably be more concerned about our own, right? So, the problem is, we want to help him in this process. So, in the end, it's the fishermen, not the fish, that determine which fish are acceptable. It's not about the type of fish, the morality of the fish, or the track record of the fish. In fact, Scripture is very clear. All of us are sinners. All of us are. We've heard the saying all the time, if we'd just believe it, we're just sinners saved by grace. And that's true. We are. We are terrible sinners, but we are saved, sozo, by Jesus. So, I'll finish my little thought here because this was in my craw. And while we spew hatred and division in the name of our Christian religion, the fish swim by, heading to destruction. While we determine who's right, who's wrong, whether we should be union, not union, whether we should be Republican or Democrat, what we got, libtards now, we just make up new words, libtards and Republican tards and you know, just throwing, just ugly spewing, all with our Christian, stop! Good Lord, man! Woman, boys, girls, Jesus is not in that. Because he's the fishing net, not the fishing pole. So, while we spew our hatred and division in the name of our Christian religion, the fish went by head of destruction. Well, now wait, Steve. The good fish get to go, right? I mean, come on. The good fish get to go to heaven, right? Well, I don't know, because Jesus said there's only one good, and it was the Father. So you say we're all going to hell? No, but we deserve it. We sure deserve it. But look what Jesus did. This is what's so crazy. I don't understand why people don't just let Jesus love them. And I don't mean, you're not going to love, listen, you'll never love anybody unless you know they love you. You get it? You hear what I'm saying? I mean, that's just really life. And so I don't get why people reject him. Well, they reject him because they have this concept that we've given them. Because we are fish and pole people. That's not who he is. For God so over the top loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. And he didn't come into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Greek word, sozo. Completely and totally whole. It's not just a ticket to heaven. You get it? So, oh, here I am. I'm there. So, I want you to look at the thief on the cross. Remember the thief on the cross? Okay. Was he accepted because of his moral greatness? Was he accepted? I mean, listen, there's been teaching in my life, man, if you aren't water baptized, you ain't going to heaven. Well, that guy went to hell then. They didn't take him down and baptize him. You get it? Oh, Steve, that's not the same. Oh, it's not? Really? Okay, so you're right and Jesus is wrong? Yeah, all right, let's run with that. So was he accepted by his moral greatness? No. The only reason he was accepted, was only his belief in Jesus that saved him. It's only our belief in Jesus. And listen, when you really start believing, you'll start receiving the love that he has for you. You'll start understanding that everything that he did on the cross is legit and that he did all that because he loves you so desperately. When you really start believing that, this love relationship happens and then nothing will change that. But then incorporate as you're getting, receiving all that love, you won't be so unloving to other people. You won't. You agaleon. The gospel is the word. That's the Greek words, you agaleon. The good news of what Christ has done. Not the good news of what you think he should do, but what he's already done. We don't want some people to go to heaven, if we're going to be honest. But we're not going to be honest. We're just going to act like. You get it? Here, let's look at some word. I got two scriptures and one thought. Paul speaking to the Romans, for I am not ashamed of this euangelion. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. Let me tell you something. There was a time in my life I was ashamed of it because I didn't really want to believe it, and I certainly didn't want some people to receive it because then that would mean that they were going to get to go to heaven with me and I'd be stuck with them for eternity. You get it? So the good news of what Jesus did is he died for all and he loves all, and all we have to do is believe that's what he did. But as we believe that's what he did, this crazy thing happens in us to where we just begin to believe that, oh my, he took all my junk so that I don't have to take his junk. I mean, he took my junk and so I can look like him. But I didn't do it, I'm not ashamed of that anymore. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who lines up with my teaching and what I tell them to do. Saves everyone who believes.
Pistis is the word. Faith. The word faith is pistis. This is the verb of it. Pistis. The Jew first and also the Gentile. Why did he throw that in? Because they didn't want to let anybody else in. The Jewish community didn't want to let nobody else in. And the Gentiles didn't care. In fact, in the other parts of the word, it says the Jews throw it under the bus because it ain't true. And the Gentiles just don't give a rip about this thing. It didn't say give a rip, but similar. I should write my own version, I guess. So watch this. Everyone who believes. Now here we go. Look, we're made right. No, go back. You can go back. We're made right with God. How? By placing our faith in Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, no matter who you think should. This is true. I'm made right with God. Why? Because God said so. I've told you a million times, man, the word's very clear, and it's in the Old Testament, and it's true. Our righteousness is as filthy as rags. I am not a righteous person. I am a horrible person. I am a terrible person. I am, But that's not the point. I'm made right with God because the word says I'm declared righteous. God declares me righteous because of what Christ did, not because of what I can do. Man, it's so much easier for me now. I so understand it now. And because I can walk in that, I don't have to make others look bad. I don't have to judge other people so that I can justify my own junk. Because that's what we do. Well, like, good night, man. You know, I did that, but I'm not as bad as Pete because I saw him do that. Meantime, the fish swim by. Because we're not going to drop the net of Jesus. We're going to leave our fishing pole in. Oh, there's a good one. Oh, I'll bet they'll give to the church. Oh, yeah, he looks pretty. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rather than red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Why do you think he said that? What do you think Jesus said, unless you come to me like a child? Because children don't know prejudice. Children don't know color. I think I've told you the story. My own parents gave up a 30-year relationship. I didn't know till years later. Because I had a black friend when I was like 8 years old that was on my baseball team. And it's weird. I remember his name. His name was Dexter Kirk. And he was just my buddy. I didn't know color. I didn't know it, but bless God, the adults did. And I asked my mom years later, I'm like, where did this so-and-so family, whatever happened to them? And she told me the truth. Well, they basically said, if you're going to let him hang with him, then. But see, you know what's really cool about that? They never told me. My parents never told me. They just did life and let me be me. But isn't it amazing? Because really, in truth, let's be really honest, racism is taught. Because there's no children that are racist. You get it. So it's a taught thing. So if you feel like your child's a racist, you better look at yourself. But I let me stay on point, which is never happens. So we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everybody who believes. Believes what? Okay, here's a saying I just wrote yesterday that I'm going to put up here, and I want you to understand it. Jesus lived a perfect life that we couldn't. He paid the penalty of death on the cross for our sins because we couldn't. And he defeated the enemy of death so we could live forever because we couldn't. All of this because of his sincere, never-ending love for each of us. Our only requirement is to believe he did what we couldn't. Do you get it? Because it's the truth. And when we live, I am the righteousness of God, the Bible says, in Christ. Oh, you're righteous? Yes, I'm righteous in him. I am righteous in him. I am declared righteous. Why? Because of Jesus. He's perfect. I'm not. He's perfect. I'm not. He perfectly, I say it every week. I'll say it again this week. Got new faces, so I'm going to say it again this week. Y'all get tired of it, just go somewhere else. that's probably not the right thing to say. I get it. People, he told me to leave, whatever. When God looks at the cross, he sees your ugly mug. He sees me. He sees you. And it's nasty. Do you hear me? When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And that's powerful. Because those days where you feel like you have so failed him, he sees Jesus. Those days where you're like, how can he bless me financially? Because I have blown so much money over the years. This is me talking. I'm being straight up now. I've blown so much money over the years. How could he bless me in that? I had a prophetic word given to me one time that tore me up that I didn't know. And all the guy said was, God wants you to know he trusts you with money. Because evidently, I obviously didn't think that because it tore me up when he said that. So how can, because when he looks at me, he doesn't see Steve Van Zandt, the one who paid $400 for a car, spent $1,000 to fix it up and sold it for $400 18 times in his life with a wife that never says, I told you so, that has every right to. That's how you know you're loved, by the way, when they don't say, I told you so. Except for you learn after a few years, that look tells you, I told you so. Up, I told you so. See, up, look at her. So he looks at me, he sees Jesus. Who better than Jesus deserves everything in life? Who better than Jesus deserves health? Who better than Jesus deserves wealth? Listen, there's no formula. That's an old sick of the formula of trying to figure out how to make God a pinata that you smash with your faith bat and get all the stuff out of it. Which, by the way, those of you here last week, that pinata we had, the strongest pinata I've ever seen in my life. I thought I was going to have to get a chainsaw to open the thing, man. We finally had to get this big old buff kid, and he beat the snot out of it. We called the police for abuse, and finally candy came out. All right, I just rabbit-trailed my last time. I just need you to understand one thing out of this whole message. Jesus loves absolutely every. Doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. Jesus loves absolutely everybody on this earth. And he sure would like it if we could do the same. Amen. All right. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. She's got a good one today, I'm sure.
I just want to explain something about, you know, Jesus always being the farmer. You know, there's something about agriculture that's important that I feel like he's speaking to us about. Culture is what any group believes and acts on, especially including the arts. Okay? So we're subject to the culture around us. But agriculture is when you are producing life through crops, you're doing something productive, bringing life through crops, or by feeding and caring for livestock or poultry. That's what agriculture is. But what agriculture is not, agriculture is not learning how to control the soil, how to control the seasons, and how to control adversity. But it's learning how to cooperate with them so that you're prepared for when those things don't go the way you think, you're prepared and you can overcome. And the only way we can overcome is through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I want you to stand with me today because I believe what the Lord is saying in this room today. There are people who have had adversity that you even believed at one point or another God brought it as a punishment to you. And I want you to turn that thinking today and realize that what happened was God was protecting you from an assault by the enemy. And he was not looking to reject you. He was looking to protect you. Because he's the farmer. Guys, he is producing in us a life. But agriculture, I must believe the way he believes. Not just believe like him, but believe what he believes. Because the word is alive and he's preparing us. And he's not preparing us with hatred. And he's not preparing us with a rigid list of rules for, you know, I'm not saying be stupid and trust everybody. I'm saying be wise and let God love you and he'll show you who to love and who to stay away from and who to get involved with. He's good about that. Because he's the treasure. So right now, what I'd like for you to do, if you are really struggling right now with being loved or loving someone else, would you just lift your hand? If you're struggling with being loved or loving someone else. Wow, thank you for your honesty. Because guys, even if you didn't raise your hand, God knows. God knows. But raising your hand means, I want to change. I'm struggling, but here's where I want to go with this. So I want to pray for you right now. Father, I just thank you for your honest children who are coming in before you as a dad and not as a condemner. God, I want to thank you that you let me be in that net and that I didn't hate the others so much that I jumped out of the net, but I waited for you to send your spirit to touch me. Today, God, send your spirit to touch those, Lord, who are struggling. And let, God, there be such a perfect peace that they're not hearing opinions. They're not hearing, God, the enemy asking them to keep bitterness and unforgiveness going. But all they are hearing is, I love you, I love you, I died for you, I love you, I will provide for you. This is possible because I'm your God. Lord, today, reach in those who are struggling and let peace come so they can hear truth. Father, I'm asking you today, if there's pride, if there's arrogance in us, God, Lord, just speak to our hearts that we can surrender that to you and be made whole because of who you are. God, help us not to try to control the soil or the climate or the seasons, but to trust you to protect us and lead us through it so something productive will be brought through our life and our love with you. Can you just say this with me? Lord, let me be productive. Lord, let me be productive with love. Lord, let me be productive with love to me and through me. I receive your love today. Thank you for that, Father. We just give you praise for that, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going, you know, oh, do you think a simple little prayer can do that? I sure do. I sure do. And I'm cautioning you between here and home, don't pick that back up. Don't call 10 people to get in agreement with you for why you don't need to let it go. Just let it go and have peace. Amen? Now, I need to ask you something. It's a little, you know, did your mother, anybody ever talk to you about having visitors in the house or taking care of what you had? Because a lot of kids today don't know to keep their feet off the furniture. But I want to talk to you just about something for just a little bit. You've seen this little symbol, life support, on the announcements. I really want us to start reaching out to our community with classes that we teach here and we open it up to the community and not just to you and I. So what I'm asking you is, if you have a trade or a gifting, I'd like for you to volunteer that because I want to let people know, okay? Just like our cake decorating class. Let's open that up to the community. Our financial class, let's open that up to the community and show them how to get out of debt, doing it God's way. If you know how to, you know, show somebody how to turn on a computer and do the basics of computer, let's have a class and teach them that. if there's a gifting or a talent you have, if you know when to sow the right seed and when it's time to fertilize and when it's time to prune and you know basics of that, let's teach that class. So I'm asking you to think about that. And I've already got a couple people. Cassie's willing to teach sign language. Got a couple things going. But I'm just saying, we're going to teach healthy living. We're going to teach Tai Chi, not to just you, but to our community. Because I want this church to be where people come to get help. Not just food and groceries, but really help. Okay? And now, filtering down to that, I'm so glad you get to have coffee and pastries and goodies every week. Right? But don't bring it in here and throw it on my carpet and on my pew. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I got visitors. How can I keep... You better watch it. I got visitors. I got coming in here, but I want you to understand me. I'm for you. But my purpose in coming here, some of you need coffee to stay awake. Some of you need sugar because you're coming off a high. Whatever it is, I don't care. But what I'm telling you is, how can I pray for God to bless me to get rid of the holes in this carpet and the rotted wood if you're going to bring something in here and ruin it? Now help me out, okay? And you know, it wouldn't hurt anybody not to go to QT and get a $3 or $4 drink, but to say, Jesus, this $3 or $4 is for you this week. Wouldn't hurt you a bit to give up one or two, okay? I'm just saying, think about it, okay? We're going to get this done, and I'm going to have the next generation that's not going to have that burden on their backs. I'm believing for it. We're the people. We can do it. So you be thinking about that class if you want to teach a class, and all you need to do is put a note in the offering that says, here's my gifting. Here's what I can do. Can I help? Because we're going to start life support, and I'm going to plan on putting it in the city paper, plan on putting it out there. Let's get some people in here and let them know we love you. We're going to help you because we're not just about being exclusive, but being inclusive. Put the net out. Amen? All right. I love you and God bless you. And...